So, Father, we just thank you for another awesome night, time together that we can just enjoy each other and be in one accord. We ask you just bless tonight, Lord. Just bless everybody. Just bless their testimonies. We just welcome you into this room tonight and just allow us to be used of you to edify each other. And we just bind the enemy. We come against any distractions in the equipment, any issues there. And we just, anybody supposed to be in here tonight that is hampered, we just ask you just bless their, you know, their connections so they can get in. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Well, let's start off like we do. Is just anybody have any prayer requests or would like prayer or have anybody they want to pray for? Let's throw it out to prayer.
Yeah, hey, Tim.
Hey, Chad.
Hey. Yeah, I got someone I'd like to pray for. Lord, just put it on my heart to really pray for my dad. There's a real shaking going on right now in the lives of my parents, which is affecting mostly my immediate family. My siblings, I have two sisters, an older sister and a younger sister. And they're all in Minnesota. And, my dad has had a very powerful salvation experience when he was 15 years old. He's told me the testimony many times, but he's never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he's 85, and I just know he needs deliverance. And, well, let's see. Lord, help me to keep this real short and to the point. It's been a lot of tension between him and my mom and my older sister for many, many years. And mainly because he needs deliverance to, keep it to the point. There's a history of mental illness on my dad's side of the family, and as they call it, bondage of the mind, and he's been, I've never, seen him or experienced him being physically abusive. I know he does have the love of Christ in him, and I've seen a change in him over many, many years, which to me is just such an awesome miracle, that the Lord can do that. But him and my mom are separated right now. I think I mentioned he's 85 years old, and through many miracles and much mercy and forgiveness on my mom's part, that and my dad too in some ways, but on her part, that they have been married for over 40, something like 45 years now or so, and I praise God for his awesome mercy. I see their marriage and that they've held on to so much is I can say it's just his mercy, And so he was staying with one of his sisters there in Minnesota, and I don't know what happened between him and her. They got into some kind of, I don't know if they got into some kind of an argument or somehow things got tense there. And he ended up leaving, and he was sitting at the airport. My younger sister called me. She's the only one in my family that I know of on both sides that has been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. She received it back in 1999 when I was talking on the phone with her once and just encouraging her in that. And then the Lord decided to go ahead and do it, and that was awesome. So her and I have been praying about all of this and this situation. But anyway, she called me up kind of distraught. My dad had left, and he just got on a plane and flew down to California like a few months ago, and nobody knew where he was, and everybody got, my immediate family especially, and some of the others on my dad's side, they kind of freaked out, and they had the police trace his cell phone to somewhere in Los Angeles. And so anyway, so he flew back to Minnesota. Well, last I'd heard, he was at the airport and ready to fly out here to Oregon. And so I called him up and talked with him a little bit. It's pretty hard to know what to say because he's just, he just doesn't seem to be really open to the things of the Spirit yet. He listened to a religious teacher that he knows very well, has been respected by a lot of the religious communities, and he just was leavened with some of his teaching and has really held on to that. And, you know, one of the things he taught was this guy was that the gifts of the Spirit aren't for today and so on and so forth. So I think that's one of the things he needs deliverance from, as well as some generational stuff. So anyways, my mom had asked him to leave because she said she was afraid for her life. She said that he tried to push her down the stairs several times, and he thinks that she has been cheating on him, which I don't bear witness on that at all. I mean, you know, my mom is, well, let's see, she's 74 now, and I just know by the Spirit, and I know my mom, you know, that's not the case at all, but these demons are putting lies in his head, and that's been going on for, like, something like 4 or 5 years now, that he's had these thoughts, and so he's doing things to her that I don't think he even remembers doing these things to my mom. I think these demons just rise up and he doesn't even remember them sometimes, and so he can't figure out why she asked him to leave and doesn't want him to come back and this and that. And it's been real hard for my mom too. I've talked with her and asked her, you know, where her heart's at and if her conscience is clear, and she, you know, she says it is. I think she's really forgiving him the best she knows how, you know, and with what she has, and she just really has been at her wit's end. She doesn't want to get a divorce. She doesn't believe in that, even with all the stuff she's been through, but she just really doesn't know what to do. So I'd like to just, you know, pray for my dad for deliverance and for my mom for her to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that the Lord will just somehow work his, you know, he can work wonders in the midst of impossible situations that are impossible for man. So I'd just like to pray for that, and, you know, if the Lord puts anything on anybody else's heart, then praise the Lord.
Amen. We'll put our faith together with you there, brother.
That'd be great. Father, I praise you, Lord, and Lord, I thank you that that you are sovereign, Lord, and I thank you for the mercy you've shown me, Lord, and my parents and my family over all these years, Lord. Lord, I know on the outside at times we may have looked like a family of five that seemed to be, you know, getting along and happy and stuff when so many marriages and families have been torn apart over the last several decades, Lord, but Lord, you know the torment and the suffering that has gone on the inside, and you have been so merciful, Lord, and I'm in awe of your mercy and your patience, Lord, and Lord, I know that this is a shaking you brought to my family, Lord, to bring up things that have been suppressed for so many years, Father, and Lord, I just ask for your continued mercy upon my parents, Lord, on my dad and my mom, and that you would really grant my dad the gift of repentance, Lord, and the deliverance that he needs from the religious spirits and the other generational curses and spirits that continue to hold him captive, Lord, and cause him to do things that he doesn't even remember and has no control over. Lord, however you need to do it, Lord, just please bring him to the end of himself and cause him to cry out to you with all of his heart and to really receive the truth, Lord, that he needs right where he's at to set him free, Lord, and that he may enter into more of the fullness of salvation, Lord, that you have freely provided for him. And I pray that you would continue to sustain my mom through this difficult time, Lord, and open her up to the things of your Spirit, Lord, to the baptism and filling of your Holy Spirit, that she may receive the grace and power to just live the richer, fuller Christian life, Lord, that you've freely provided for her, Lord. And I also pray for my older sister, Lita. She's my half-sister, and born before my folks met, before my mom got saved. And, Lord, you've also been very patient with her, Lord, and I just pray, Lord, that you would set her free from bitterness and being judgmental and critical, Lord. Help her to see the prison that it's holding her in, Lord, and please grant her repentance and open her up to the baptism and the filling of your Spirit, Lord, that she would cry out to you with all of her heart and be open, Lord, to receive the work that you desire to do in her at this time, Lord, and give my younger sister, Lori, the grace to continue enduring through this trying time, Lord, and just to pray and seek you with all of her heart, Lord, and allow you to do in her what you need to do, Lord, at this time to prepare her for the things that are coming and to allow you to keep working in her through this time, Lord, and to really keep her focus on you, Lord, more and more, to get it and keep it on you, Lord, and not the trial or the situation and what things look on the outside, Lord, and just praise you and thank you, Lord, for your continued mercies, Lord. I'm in awe of you, Father, and you're so wonderful, and make my family here vessels of honor, Lord, that you make it so much more glory in their lives, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And Father, we just come together. We put our faith together with Chad over this situation, his family, and we just command just restoration into that family, Lord, that you'll just move in the hearts of everybody in that family, that where the enemy has divided, that you'll bring back together, Lord. And we thank you for just granting just a spirit of repentance over Chad's dad. And we just thank you for just, we just bind up those religious spirits and any spirits that are lying to his head. We just call them bound in the name of Jesus. Those, whatever the witchcraft or mental illness or, you know, whatever's going on, generational curses or, you know, we just break them in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just ask for your grace over this situation, Lord, just your mercy and grace to just work in Chad's dad and work in the family to soften their hearts and just bring them, you know, just bring them together, Lord. And we just forbid the enemy from playing havoc, Lord. And we just put our faith with Chad, and we thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen, I believe.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Lord, amen. Thank you, Father.
Amen. You know, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much, and we're going to live on those promises. Amen.
Lord, I just thank you for Chad and Charity and what you've done through them. And I just thank you that you're going to make clear to Chad the whole household salvation, how all that works, and for myself too. And I thank you for putting within Chad and Charity faith as rising to the occasion. And I thank you that they're for what you're going to do with Chad's dad and mother. And I thank you for the complete restoration. And just like when you came, Jesus, you fixed everything around you. And you're here now. And I just thank you that your power is still the same, and your commands are still the same, and your promises are still the same. And the effect of your word is still the same. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, anybody else want to pray for anybody or need prayer?
Yeah, I'd like to pray for our people here that don't have electricity. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that you are having that restored quickly, and that none of the water pipes will be busted, and that Paul and Kiana's house will be safe. There won't be any water going anywhere or anything because of busted pipes, because you're on the job, Father. We thank you for that, Lord. We just thank you that you're drawing Paul and Kiana closer and closer to you, Lord, and we just praise you for the wonderful testimony they're going to give. And also, Lord, for everyone else here, what we call the compound over there, Lord, we thank you that electricity is being restored over there as well, and that none of those pipes are going to be busted because of this cold weather. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing, all the miracles that you're dealing out today, Lord. We praise you for that. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, and Lord, we just thank you that Tim's electricity will be on tonight too. In Jesus' name, we praise you, Father, that there won't be any problems whatsoever. And we thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I accept that.
Hey, Michael, you know, that was on my heart to pray for you guys, too, just even, you know, right before you did that. So I'd just like to add a little bit to that.
Yeah, go ahead, Chad.
Father, I thank you for the good work you're doing in us, Lord. I thank you for the good work you're doing them there in them there in the fellowship in the Tennessee Valley, Lord. And wow, thank you, Father. Lord, I just pray for grace for each one there that are going through trials, Lord, at this time. I know not having power and really cold weather like that, Lord. Especially for those who aren't used to that kind of thing, Lord. It's a trial for anybody, Lord, but especially for those that aren't used to it, Lord. And just, I just ask for your, that you would unite each one's faith with grace, Lord. And that, I thank you that you're going to, Lord, that you've already answered that prayer that Michael prayed. And I pray that in this time of endurance, Lord, that faith would rise up in each one and you would continue to work, just patience and endurance, Lord, that patience would have its perfect work, and that I thank you, Lord, that when you bring each one, as you bring each one out of these trials, Lord, that they're going to be stronger in faith, Lord, and with more of Christ in them, Lord. So I just pray you pour out grace upon my brothers and sisters there, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen.
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 Lord, I'd just like to ask you to bring the angels down and touch those pipes and keep them warm. And bring some warmth in these houses where they're cold and there's no electricity, Lord. Just bring this divine intervention. I pray this. I look for miracles, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Bring down the angels for your help. Through yourself, sovereignty, Lord. I ask this. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else like to pray or need prayer?
Well, the temperature's up.
Father, we just ask for just a heat wave, Lord, just blow these, you know, this cold front away, Lord, and just give us some warm weather. So we just put our faith together that you're going to change the weather patterns and you're going to bring in a warm front. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I had a interesting thing happen this week. Is when I was up in Ohio, I think I shared the testimony of going into my mom's house and finding the Ouija board and that. But when I was in there, basically I was asked to go take a look at something, and in her house there had been a pipe that had broken. And she was actually staying with, you know, because she's, you know, kind of in hospice right now. She was staying with my sister and wasn't in the house. So when I went over there, there was apparently a pipe broken in the bathroom and flooded out, and nobody knew about it. And it wasn't like a big burst. It was just a leak, you know, like a slow, you know, kind of a slow leak type thing. And there was actually like mushrooms growing along the floorboards in the hallway on the other side of the bathroom. And the bathroom was pretty trashed. I mean, the tile was coming up and the cabinet was you know, all falling apart and that from the water damage. So my sister had asked a contractor to come in to, you know, clean up replace the cabinet and fix up the bathroom. And he convinced her to call the insurance company because it was a water leak. And the insurance company brought in their own people. And basically what happened was that a job that started off at $10,000 grew to $20,000. And then apparently this ceiling fell in the bathroom, and they noticed that there was a roof leak and there was mold in the attic, and this thing was just starting to I didn't know anything about it. I just had it on my heart to call my sister, and then she told me what was going on, and they were going to have a meeting, and you know, there was just, you know, this thing was like getting out of hand. So I had called an old friend of mine. He was actually an old insurance broker that my family had used for years, but he was just he was the type of guy that was, I mean, he was more like a family member. He would always, you know, help out, or, you know, he knew somebody or whatever it is, but he always had good wisdom. So I'd called him up to ask him if he would talk to my sister and kind of guide her in the whole situation. And we had a real good talk. We hadn't talked in a while, and, you know, I was telling him about, you know, what was going on in my life, and I was asking what was going on in his life. And he started to share with me that he doesn't even know the name of it, but he can't even go up a few flights of stairs, you know, or a few steps, and he gets winded. I mean, he's got to take a step one at a time, and it's like his lung capacity just isn't there. And he figured out it was from when he was in the Navy. He was on a construction crew, and they had him for months crawling through ductwork and cutting insulation and gluing it in this ductwork. And they believe that the fiberglass or whatever got into his lungs and is affecting his breathing. So what happened was it opened up the door for me to ask if I, you know, could pray for him. And I could tell he was a little hesitant. I think, you know, he might have, I don't even know if he really went to church, or if he did, you know, it was probably Catholic or something like that. But I knew he just wasn't comfortable, you know, at first with me praying for him. So he agreed to it. And I just, you know, when I prayed, it was just an awesome prayer. The Holy Spirit just came in, and it was just an anointed prayer. And afterwards, I could just feel, I mean, just through him talking, that he was just so appreciative. His spirit totally changed, because he was just, when I first asked him, I could tell there was a little hardness there, but it just, the Lord just softened his heart, and he was just real appreciated, and just, I could tell just the whole situation changed. So I just saw that through this situation, you know, we don't see God in things. But through this whole situation with my mom's house, I could just see how it just opened up the door for prayer. And I think there's going to be more of that. So I guess I would like to pray for him and just, you know, have us come together, put our faith together for him and in the situation in his lungs. So if you can just put your faith with mine. So, Father, right now, I just lift up Frank Clark. And, Lord, he has been a blessing to me. And, He's blessed me over the years, and Lord, I just ask that, you know, you bless the people that bless us. So Lord, right now, I just ask that you just bless Frank, Lord, whatever's going on in his lungs. I don't know what it's called, but you know what it is. You know what's going on, and we just come against this attack on his lungs right now, and I just speak to those lungs, and I command those lungs to open up, his breathing capacity to open up. His lungs to be totally restored, totally healed in the name of Jesus. And we just give you the glory for that. I pray for his true salvation, that through this experience that he'll see a change. He'll know it's you working in him, and that he will just come to your fullness, Lord. So I pray for his salvation right now, Lord, that you'll use this situation to draw Frank to you, draw his family to you, that, you know, he's getting up there in years, Lord, and we just ask, Lord, that you just have mercy and grace on him, Lord, and just totally save him and totally heal his body, and just give him a hunger for truth in your word, Lord, and we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. We agree.
So, all right, anybody else? All right, was that Missy?
Yeah, yeah. My brother's daughter, I think she's 21 now. She's leaving tomorrow. She's in college. She's leaving tomorrow I don't know if you call it an exchange, but she's going to study over in Italy until June. She's going to be there from tomorrow till June. And I just wanted to pray for her. And, you know, I'm a little concerned with the whole thinking things that are going to, you know, start moving here soon. You know, with tribulation, man, child, and, you know, all that. So I'm concerned with her being over there. So Anna is her name. So, Father, I just ask you, Lord, to watch over and keep Anna, Lord. Lord, she is yours, and I believe she probably is baptized in the Holy Spirit. I don't know that for a fact. I know my brother is. But anyway, Lord, just watch over and keep her, give her wisdom, put a hedge of protection around her, Lord. I ask in Jesus' name, and Lord, just keep her safe. I don't know what to pray other than that, just to keep her safe and bring her home safely, Lord. Ask in Jesus' name, and just while she's there, Lord, reveal yourself to her more, Lord, and draw her closer to you. And I just praise you and thank you for that. also, Father, I'd like to pray for Merle. Merle's been working these outrageous hours because of the cold, not just because of the cold, but the special job they had him doing. Like, for 3 days straight, he had to be at work at 4 in the morning, and he worked until 6 in the evening. And then one day, they wanted him to be in, at work at 3, but he only had to work till 11. And last night, he worked from 11 at night to 11 this morning, and he has to go in tonight because of the cold and everything. But he said he didn't really do much anything. They call it cold patrol because he works for Norfolk Southern Railroad, and the tracks can break and stuff, and they need someone to be ready on hand to repair track and stuff so they don't have a derailment and all. And this winter has been, I think it's been, so far it's been worse for the hours and stuff that he's had to work because of the cold weather and this other special thing that they were doing. But anyway, so Father, I just ask you for your mercy and grace upon Merle, and that you use this, Lord, to just draw him to yourself and Lord, keeping warm. And I ask you to give him good sleep when he does sleep, Lord, and he gets real well rested. And I ask for you to just bless him and strengthen him to be able to work these long hours. And I just ask you for your mercy and grace upon all of us, Lord, that you give us a break in this cold weather, that we no longer get any more spells of this cold weather, Lord. And it is supposed to start warming up early Saturday morning. But, Lord, I just, like the brother said, ask for you to bring in a warm front, but we ask you to bring it in sooner, Lord. Bring it in sooner than what the forecaster's thinking. I just praise you, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, Chad, did you have something to pray?
Tim, when you mentioned Frank, I was just thinking of Frank Thornton. He's actually been on my heart quite a bit lately, so Lord, I just pray that you would really do the work in Brother Frank, Lord, that needs to be done at this time, Lord, and I thank you that you are, Lord. We just pray that you would increase that, and Lord, I just really believe you have a work through Brother Frank yet, Lord, a high calling yet to fulfill in his life, Lord, in this time to come. And so, Lord, just grant him whatever repentance is needed at this time, Lord, so that he can just line up with your perfect will for his life, Lord. I pray that as he continues to obey Romans 12, 1 and 2, yielding himself to you as a spiritual sacrifice and renewing his mind with your word, Lord, that you would just cause him to come right into line, Lord, that with your perfect will, that he would know what that is, Lord, and that he would overcome everything that's standing in the way of that, Lord, by your grace, Father. Give him grace to just become even more of an overcomer, Lord, in this time, and just bind up any spirits, Lord, of spiritual lethargy and complacency that have crept in any area of his life, Lord, any nook and cranny, and I forbid your power against him in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, that you would just fan those flames, Lord, and those hot coals that are still burning within him, Lord, fan them into flame, Lord, and I just declare that you're going to have your way in his life to the full, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for Brother Frank, Lord. Just keep a hedge of protection about him and help him, Lord, at this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Chad, I just, Brother Frank went home. We don't know when. I think last night or this morning. So... Michael, do you know any more about that, or
no? Just that he had been in the hospital for a while, and he went home to be with the Lord this morning. So we rejoice with him. Just sometime this morning, okay. Dixie called and told him.
How old was Frank?
Let's see. He had to have been 79. He had to be in close to 80, if not 80 already. 77. Yeah, he was. If he wasn't 80, he was close to it.
So, what is his wife's name? Is it Daisy?
Dixie.
Dixie. Okay.
Yeah, his wife's name Dixie, and he's got a daughter, I think. And she may have been the one that called David. I don't know. He didn't say who called him.
Okay. Well, let's just pray for the family.
Amen.
So, Father, right now, we just ask you put a peace in Frank's family right now. You just just work in Dixie, Lord, allow her to to grieve and to rest in you. And we just ask you just give a peace in the whole family, Lord. Just comfort them during this time of sorrow but allow them to celebrate and just know where Frank is. And Lord, we just thank you for working in all of them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for letting this be a chance for the family to come together and to glorify you, Lord. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I don't know if all of you know this, but Frank was a intercessor. Or none, I'm telling you. He prayed for a lot of people in UBM and around. He was a good prayer warrior. Good prayer warrior. And God, he had a miraculous life too. I think Tim can attest to some of the stories that he had, but maybe that's for another time. But he was quite a guy.
Amen. Yeah, he's got some amazing testimonies of what the Lord did in his life. I'm sure he's shared some on the conference and stuff like that. But that afternoon when he took me under his wing and he just filled me full of faith. He was just giving me one testimony after another, and it was just awesome. So I just he really blessed me when I needed my faith built up, and it was really neat. So. We just, we're going to miss them. Amen.
Amen. We will. We'll miss him. We miss that big old deep voice of his. He'd come over to the Sweetwater house and spend the night, and the next morning he'd say, come on, let's go get us some biscuits and gravy. That was his favorite breakfast, biscuits and gravies at Hardee's.
Amen. All right. How about anybody else want to pray? Have anything on their heart? Anybody want to pray for? If you need prayer, possibly. Hey, Linda, are you able to mute your mic?
How do you do that?
Do you have a cell phone?
No, it's just a regular,
phone
that I can walk around with.
Okay. Hey, Michael, do you know what it is to, if you want to talk, if you're muted, how to get in? Is it star 11 or something?
Oh, don't ask me, man. That's been too long ago. A lot of them.
Unmutes if you push star twice.
Star twice?
Uh-huh.
Okay, awesome. So, Linda, we can mute you, and then if you want to make a comment or come back in, you just hit star twice.
Okay.
Okay?
That'll be good.
Hey,
awesome.
Is there a way we can mute ourselves? Like, it's like I guess you could try it and see.
I'm not sure. I guess that'd be a question
for Kevin. That'd
be something
to look at, wouldn't it? Yeah, probably.
Yeah, we can ask Kevin. Kevin's kind of the geek guru or something for this, so we can ask him and let everybody know next week as far as that. So, I mean, we're able to mute you from here, but the problem is once we mute you, if you want to make a comment or add in or that, you can unmute yourself, I guess, with star, but we don't know.
Star, but I guess you can hear me now, so.
What's that?
I just hit star, but I guess you can hear me, so.
Yeah.
Didn't toggle the other way.
So.
I was just wondering if we could pray for the, a lot of us knew Frank. And we'll miss him quite a bit, so maybe we can pray for each other.
You want to go ahead and pray, Malcolm?
Maybe somebody else could.
Okay.
I'll start it out just by saying thank you, Lord, for bringing in such a wonderful man. I'm in our midst, so we had an awesome experience to hear some of his experiences, you, Lord, and gave us confidence and grace and your wisdom. And your loving kindness and your steadfastness with us through Frank. And it gave us something to look forward to. And we listened to him. And we like hearing Frank talk especially about the Lord and his faith. Help build us up too, Lord. We ask that you bring that into this fellowship and continue that. And bring that into us, you know, what he left for us to encourage us with. I ask that, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else want to pray?
Hello?
It worked. Yes, Linda.
Why don't we ask God to raise him from the dead?
He's tired. He wanted to go home.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
I think I heard heaven's a pretty nice place to go visit.
We need people to stay on this earth long enough that are wise because we need their help. You know, like he was a mature saint. And
let's pray for God's wisdom.
Okay.
Let's do that. Father, we know what we've seen come, and we know we need more. We need more of you. We need more of your grace, Lord. We need more of your wisdom and understanding because we can't do this by ourselves. We don't even know what's coming, but we know when it comes, it's going to be probably more than we can handle if it starts really getting bad. So, Lord, we ask you, we plead, and we come to you humbly. We request that you stand by our side. You be our Savior, be our mighty God. And bring us the wisdom we need to get through these days, to get through these times. Bring us understanding by your grace, Lord, not by who we are, but by who you are, Lord. We want to manifest you. We can't do that without you, Lord. We ask this humbly in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Father, we just ask you just work in all of us, Lord. We just ask for more wisdom. We ask for just more, you know, more of your grace. And Lord, just grow us up in you. Just allow Christ to manifest in us. Just allow more of your word to manifest in us and more of your truth. And just guide and direct us all, Lord, in these days. And if there's anything that any direction that we're not going in the right direction, we just ask you just put us back on the path, Lord. Help us get our eyes just totally focused in on you. If there's any distractions in our life, just point those out. If there's any lies we're believing, just bring us truth, Lord, and help us to stay on that narrow path, Lord, and grow us up in you. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord. All right. Does anybody else need prayer or want to pray about anything? How about testimonies?
Hello?
Andrew?
Yeah, this is Andrew from Canada.
What's up?
I've been reading the book, The Curse of Unforgiveness.
Awesome.
And I read the first chapter so far, and I just been reflecting on my own life and asking for the Lord to forgive anyone who came against me or to forgive me also, going through I still think of my ex-wife and my children, and it just so happens that they were over this weekend, and I asked my daughter, because I don't have a very good rapport with my children anymore because they're 21 and 19 and they have other things they want to do and between school and work and friends, they don't visit daddy as much anymore. But, it came to a point where I asked my daughter about what she thought Christianity was all about, or how are you saved? And she said, from what she remembered, she said it was to walk with Christ. And it was a good answer, but I know by her voice and by what's going on in her life that she's really not that way. So I just this upsets me, and because of the so many things that have happened in my life I've just been reviewing all this, all these things where I may have been angry, and I ask the Lord to forgive me of that and to forgive the people for getting me angry. And I know that sometimes when you have conversation with an ex, that anger can creep in very easily. And just by reading that first chapter, I see now that I shouldn't even be angry. And I just want this to leave, and to not be angry, to not have any guilt or to be fighting, no bitterness or jealousy because she did remarry. And I've just been forgiving all these things that have happened to me from all the stuff that people have done to me. And it's I don't like really to dwell on the divorce, but you know, the background I have is very different than from most people that you know, I come from a family that really doesn't have too much good communication, but you know, they're Roman Catholic, and some are charismatic Roman Catholic, and I found myself even asking for forgiveness because I was kind of coming against that in a very angry way too, and even with myself to have constant fighting over this and being unforgiving to the things that are going on in the world, like well, just in our lifetime, the passing of certain laws that the countries have done, both Canada and the United States, being angry over things like that. Because when I read in that chapter about this woman who was angry with the university she worked for, I thought of all the stuff that I may have done where I was angry against a lot of the stuff that's in the news, and I'm just glad I don't have Cablevision anymore, because it does sort of get you going, and you think of the stuff in your parents' homeland, where they came from, and the things that they had to go through. And, you know, I just don't want to be on this conference call unforgiven or not showing forgiveness, especially to anyone. I don't want to be accountable for not being unforgiven or for not forgiving, especially not forgiving, since it's a request from the Lord that that's what you should do and always do. And that anger would not come upon me, you know, from temptations that come in, you know, and that I would be angry with that, with the result of what has happened in the world, or you know, with my kids not really being interested in the Lord, or you know, just the whole family situation. And I pray for them a lot, and I don't want them to not be saved, or I'm just happy she had a fairly correct answer. It's just she needs to follow that, and I just don't want any anger, fighting, jealousy, loneliness, bitterness, brokenness, emptiness, rejection, or guilt. You know, I just sat down one day and made a list of all of them, and you know, my mother passed away 2 years ago, and I was really angry with the denomination she belonged to. And I don't want to show anger. It's just that I want to be separate from the worldly things and the religions that are out there. And well, that's just it. And I lead a very secluded life and a very lonely life sometimes, that you know, the last time, you know, when I phoned, I said I had a pain in my heel there, and it actually did go away, but now it's back again, and this pain in my heel, and it goes and comes, you know, and I just don't know if that reflects my walk there's some other things I thought about with the heel, you know. I shall bruise thy heel and you shall bruise his head, you know. So that's what I'm kind of going for. It's just been a really good soul searching for just that first chapter, you know. I just started to go through things where I forgave the different pastors of the different denominations that I was in, you know, reviewing some of the things they said and did, you know, and especially now because I read a lot of the material and knowing the errors that they have and that they're subjected to being under law and having, of course, when that happens, you're on a rabbit trail of having doctrine that's according to the letter, you know, and I just don't want that for them because I really thought that they, you know, that they are sincere and they may be ignorant in things, but I just want good for them now and I want them to see the error of their ways and on certain items, you know, and that they would just believe properly and find a way out of the tithing thing and especially the women in the pulpit teaching. That was a few denominations there where I ran into that. You know, when you come from a denomination that actually prays to a woman, Mary, you tend to wonder why these non-Mary Heltry churches would put a woman in the pulpit and do things like that. I just forgive people for the lies that they didn't know they were lies, so the ignorance and the error that they had. And you know, I had one pastor even say that you're not going to make it without me. That was the last one I left where I said I didn't believe in the pre-tribulation rapture anymore. Even gave him a little pamphlet that sort of was Get Chipped. I don't know if you're familiar with that pamphlet. And it was sort of a pamphlet that would have people want to get chipped, get this microchip under their skin for identification. And I gave that to that last pastor, and I just said, well, this is how close it is if they already have the technology. So, the weird thing is up here in Canada, I used to, this is a highly Roman Catholic area I live in because there's a lot of French Canadians, and I would warn them about the physical mark, you know, and there's one time I was standing in line for the groceries, and the lady ahead of me had a bill of $66.66, and she looked at her other cashier friend, and she said, "What's her name has this bill?" And then they both turned and looked at me, and I just sort of nodded. But, you know, these are all Roman Catholics, but they are concerned about this. You know, they were apparently warned about it, so I know that when you start speaking the Bible verses to them, they seem to quiet down and listen quite a bit. And that's a sense that I've had when even talking with family or anybody, you know, that that they tend to listen when you quote scripture or give a lesson with a quoted scripture, and if that helps anybody, if they're talking to these Roman Catholics. Anyways, I just would like prayer for a forgiving heart, and for me towards people who've wronged me, and that they would be forgiven, and that the Lord would forgive me of anything that I have done.
Amen. So, Father, we just ask right now, Lord, you know Andrew's heart, that he wants to have a forgiving heart, and he wants to be able to not walk in anger and not walk in judgment. And Lord, you're speaking to him through the curse of unforgiveness. And Lord, we just thank you for granting him just repentance. Giving him a total heart to forgive, to fill him full of your love, to love all, and just fill him full of your agape love, Lord. And we thank you for that, Lord. Just continue to work in him. Continue to open up his spiritual eyes. Open up his heart. See what's in there, Lord. Just use this, just use your word and these teachings to just show anything that's in him, Lord, because he wants it gone. And we just put our faith together for him, and we just thank you for working in him and just exposing, you know, what is in him. So, Lord, we just come against any guilt. We come against just a spirit of anger. We just rebuke that in the name of Jesus. We rebuke guilt in the name of Jesus. We just come against just the spirit of rejection. We just forbid that to speak to him now in the name of Jesus. We come against any condemnation. We forbid that in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you for just renewing his mind through your word and through truth. And just granting him just repentance, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You know, Andrew, these books and these studies, this particular one we're going through now, and it really opened my eyes up to a lot of things, too, that what unforgiveness is. And Tim can attest to you, these teachings are awesome, and I recommend everybody go through them. Don't just read them, study them.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. That's why I've only got one chapter in. Actually, I was just finished it off at, from page 13 to 16 tonight, and it's I love the part about Jesus there, and how he knew who was sovereign there over why he went to the cross, and he's God's the only sovereign one, and of course the devil has no sovereign will, so I just read that today, and I took some notes on it, and how all these people like Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together against him. So he just knew that he had to forgive them because they didn't know what they were doing. And, you know, those principalities existed back then. The Romans were the authorities, and the darkness and the wickedness was back then. So they're possessed by that, and we need to pray for them and ask for God's mercy and truth for them, and to be forgiven. Amen.
Amen. And the neat thing is the Lord, you know, the Lord has called you out of the church and led you to this, you know, to this ministry, and, you know, so we can just purge ourselves of what was in us, the doctrines that we used to believe, the...
I got a question about that, because, you know, my sister's children have children, and they have these christening things, baptisms, and I just said to her that I won't be attending, because, you know, I thought more of my children, that I'm going to finally take a stand on this, and that I'm not going to visit these other religions and take part, thinking that I approve of these things. But I didn't really say it to her that way. All I just said was, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in infant baptism. You have to be growing up for that. You have to hear your salvation. You have to be part of the body of Christ. You have to receive Christ in you. You have to, through his righteousness, have the proper behavior, you know. And you know, she seemed a little insulted, you know, that I turned this down, that I wasn't going, you know. But I think she understood anyway that that's my stand on it. I didn't want it to be a confrontation or anything. I just, you know, I just really had enough of the religion thing. You know, 5 different denominations, 7 different congregations, and yeah, you pick up a lot of stuff that hopefully will work out for the better now, because why else would I have to have gone through all that, all the stuff I went through? I, you know, everybody needs prayer, and sometimes you just got to come on the phone and ask for prayer for people to intercede for you, and to have a prayer life and to study, you know. You know, you tell us to read the Bible, but that's what the apostle said. Read, admonish, and give the teaching. Over there in Titus or Timothy, huh? Well, just read them all anyway.
What's that?
Just, you know, that's all. It's
okay.
Well, hey, I think Andrew, can I offer something real quick? You know, it's a tough call, you know, with the family like that. I know I have a religious background too, not the Catholic end, but more Lutheran, but still I know what the Catholic background is, and they're similar. I can really empathize with what you're saying. Same time, I hate to see you cut off any family relationships, you know, that would, you know, cause any hard feelings too. Because that's hard for people to understand what you know, because they're not in that light yet. We are. We are in that light. We know there's a difference. We know why we believe in what we're doing,
Yeah.
But they're not going to understand that. And I'm not saying this in a judgment way to you, and I don't want them to get upset with you either. You know, I hate to see that become a stumbling block for them. That's all. You got to do what's good for your conscience, but just try not to break, you know, your fellowship with them. Because of beliefs, because then you're not going to be able to, you know, bring light into their life either. Sometimes that might be a problem, that's all.
Well, I still believe I have favor with them.
Okay.
I think mainly because they're shocked that this divorce happened, and
right.
It's been quite a while now, but, yeah, it's a big ordeal anyway. And
I just didn't want you to feel like you're putting yourself on a little lone hill, you know, and being by yourself.
Yeah,
because, you know, we're still going to have family get-togethers, and there's going to be Christmas celebrations and
all that.
You know, Easter and all that stuff happens.
Yeah.
It's just if you can just look the other way and just appreciate the people and love them, you know.
Yeah.
It really helps.
Yeah, I can share that in the beginning when I came into this truth, I pretty much just shed my family. They would invite me over for Easter or Christmas or whatever it was, and I would just never go because I didn't want to be part of that. And when I look back, and I really understood being weak to the weak, I realized where I was, you know, they were just seeing me as this, you know, religious person, and they didn't want to have anything to do with it because they didn't think what they were doing, there was anything wrong with it. And, you know, but I just, you know, I just saw Christmas as wrong and a lot of different things. And when I really started coming into the fullness and really understanding that I just need to love on them and show the love of Christ, I'm not in agreement with what they're doing. And a lot of times I would just ask the Lord if I was supposed to go to a certain function or something like that. And I've found that just being weak to the weak and, you know, going to function like that, and they might be drinking or whatever it is, and just being there and not joining in on that, just, you know, just loving on them and, you know, just allowing them to see Christ in me and not trying to preach to them or anything like that. It's
well,
really
the whole thing is because some of them are charismatic, they believe the Christ that they have in them is the right thing. And, you know, some of the things they say are right, but they still have error in some other areas. And, you know, they're like, I have a brother that's really involved in the charismatic thing, and he called to wish me a happy birthday there, and he said, well, I got this cold coming on. And I said, now, should you really be confessing that? And he says, no, that's true. That's taken care of, you know. Jesus died for my sins, you know.
Awesome.
Yeah. But, you know, I think he's really heavy into the forgiveness thing there, and we need to have Christ in us to have the behavior and the proper life, and I don't think it clicks with them yet, you know.
Well, approach it with Romans 14 in mind, you know.
Yeah, that's Romans 14.
I heard a really good thing from a pastor here the other day. It was from a guy named Milton Green, because of Michael Hare told me about this guy. He said it was really good. He says, we start getting this light and we start getting this understanding and and, you know, we feel pretty good about it. And he says, just make sure you don't try to shine your light down somebody's throat. And I thought, oh, I've done that.
I think we all have.
So, yeah.
I think next time we look in the mirror, we better open our mouth because the kingdom's within there. You know, a definition for the kingdom. You know, the kingdom's within you. So open your mouth so the kingdom's in there too. It's not just on the surface shining. It's through and through. All the way through.
Absolutely.
And we need a good polishing every once in a while, though. And I think the Lord does that and cleanses us and helps us. It's just it's amazing what He can do. It's that's basically it, you know. Yeah, but the last time I talked to you, I was talking about freedom there and how there could be two different types of freedom. Very much so in relation to what man thinks freedom is, and what Western people think freedom is, and what the Lord tells you freedom is, and we belong to that free woman, and we're to drink of the waters of life freely. And you know, this freedom they have over there in France with what happened over there with these reporters is just not the freedom. You know, I think it's 11 people died and two murderers were created out of this and one person at large. So that's not really the proper freedom. But a lot of Westerners think they have the freedom to do anything and to even insult other religions. I don't think that's a proper way of going about it. And, you know, that's not freedom, because God doesn't have things happen like that for his freedom. And, you know, they had all the world leaders visit there talking about this freedom that they should have. They want to be like Charlie. I am Charlie, or whatever. You know, that's not the I am we're supposed to have. Anyways, it's Christ, and it always will be.
Amen. Yeah, we just, you know, because I know that it's easy to look at other, you know, religious sects, and that when I went up to Ohio and went to this funeral, it was all Catholic, and the priest walks in, and it was just, there was just this arrogance there. And I mean, I could feel the anger actually coming up inside of me. You know, he went into a back room, and I was going to go into that room, and I was actually asking the Lord if I'm supposed to talk to him, but I knew my heart wasn't right. I was actually judging this man, and the Lord's really been showing me that the deceived do not know they're deceived. You know, they really think they're doing the right thing, and, you know, the Lord has given us grace and opened our eyes to the Word, and, you know, let us into the Word to a point where, you know, where it's, you know, we're just seeing the truth behind the Word. But the enemy wants to use that to really get us into judgment and get us critical. And especially when we see what's going on in the world, I mean, we can get critical towards that. And we miss out on, we know that, you know, God is sovereign. He's in control. And, you know, sometimes it's, you know, we can just, you know, and that's what the Lord's trying to work out of us is that anger and frustration in all areas, not necessarily our family, but I mean, he doesn't want any anger in us. And you know, it's just he takes me through a trial in one area and then tests me in another area. So he can deal with me with my family and then test me with a religious leader or a priest or whatever it is. And then he takes it a step farther and tells me it's not what comes out of my mouth, it's what's in my thoughts. And I've got to really police my thoughts. But and that's what this walk is all about, is, you know, we can't look back. And, you know, I mean, we can ask the Lord, who do we need to forgive, and allow him to show us who we need to forgive, or is there anything, you know, you need to repent about, or if he brings something up, just having that heart of repentance, because really, that gift comes from him being able to repent, which is, you know, really change our mind, and not to justify, but really to change our mind, and, you know, walk in the love of Christ. And he keeps, you know, as we read, we need to be willing to repent and see what, you know, the things that we're doing. And he just keeps, that's all part of this walk. And that's why it's so awesome when you go through some of these Bible studies. Because, I mean, that first chapter, Trish and I probably spent, I don't even know, maybe 8 hours going through an hour Bible study, because it was opening up so many different avenues. I mean, it's so much different when you listen to it, but when you really sit down and you read it and you have time to really meditate on it and talk about it, or, you know, really see what's in you. And that's what he really wants us to do, is as we see those things, a lot of the times we didn't even think it was sin, you know, being frustrated. Well, that's, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Being hurt. Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. But it all, you know, when he shows you, it's all like, it's not love. It's all in unforgiveness. So.
Yeah. Well, I work in the printing industry, and sometimes you can get really big anxiety for day dues and you know, like everything's kind of rushed because everyone wants their stuff. So it's been getting calmer and better, and plus, you know, everything is going high tech now, so I want everything to be more accurate and correct, and because people don't want printed material as much as they used to. Anyway.
You know, hey, Tim?
Yes.
I listened today on the radio, yesterday on the radio coming by, to these two preachers talking about anger and what is, how can you be angry and sin not, you know, and you know what David says about that. And of course, he's right, you know, that's not what he was talking about. That you can be angry and sin not. You can't be angry at anybody or anything without sinning. That was not a question that in the way that they posed it. That was, of course, everybody knows that the Bible was written without any punctuation in it, and they put it in there with their own interpretation. That must have been what God meant, so that they could go ahead and be angry, I guess, and sin not.
Yeah, I read that somewhere too. There was a teaching. I read that somewhere about a teaching on that. I just can't really remember it. But we are to be angry with the tempter, right? Who tempts us to not want that.
Well, we could, yeah, but the way they were proposing it was it was a righteous anger. Well, what is a righteous anger? Well, Jesus going into the temple was righteous anger, because he was taking care of the sheep by running out the people that were prostituting God's word. That's righteous anger. But these guys were trying to put it on a personal level, and you can't do that. You cannot be angry on a personal level and not sin.
Of course, they use that example in the reverse of the way you just said it, that Christ got angry when he went into the temple. People who are religious use that in a reverse sort of way to justify their own anger or anger in general. So... That's what you tend to know this when you talk about it, but sometimes, you know, the old teachings that you were taught, that you should be angry because Jesus got angry when he went into the temple. So
Jesus got angry because of the flesh that was in the temple, the way they were taking advantage of each other. In a fleshly manner, they were abusing. They were abusing the Father at that point, and he was angry over that. You had to see what his anger was. It wasn't a flesh anger. It was purely on a spiritual level. It was purely for the love of his Father, and for the people of God. And you've seen the abuse, and it had nothing to do with the flesh at that point. It was anger of the flesh for what the flesh had been doing. So So trying to justify anger is justifying your flesh.
Well, what
Jesus
about
wasn't in, but Jesus wasn't in the flesh doing that. Go ahead.
He doesn't want that flesh in our temple.
Amen.
That's what I get out of it.
Yeah. What's that slide?
What about in the book of Jonah? Because when y'all was talking about that, I recalled, you know, in the book of Jonah, when Jonah got angry, the Lord said to him twice, "It's good that you get angry." Remember in there? Because he was angry and all.
What was he angry about?
Well, one thing, he was angry because he knew that Nineveh was going to come against his tribe and all, or his people. And the other thing, he was angry because of the caterpillar or whatever that ate the gourd. And the Lord said to him, "You get angry about that, but yet these people that I want you to go, whatever, testify to and all, you don't want to do that, but yet, you know."
Yeah.
Am I making any sense, or am I just crazy?
Well, do you really want me to answer that, Slade?
Not the crazy part, but about the Jonah.
Well, there again, personal anger is a sin. If you get angry over what somebody has done to you, that's a sin. Let's just put it, let's lay it out on the table there. If somebody gets angry, if you get angry because somebody did something to you, that's a sin. Don't do it. And that's what happens. That's it in a nutshell.
Well, then was Jonah, he was angry at the Lord then, right?
Well, why? Why was he angry at the Lord?
Because he had to do something he didn't want to do.
Okay. What happened? Because of that anger, what happened? He had to spend the night in a fish, didn't he?
Well, the fish was before that, wasn't it? It was after that, after he went to Nineveh and preached and all. It was that, you know, when he went up by himself and just, I could be wrong, probably am, but I thought that was after the fact of the fish. But, the thing is, he got angry.
He didn't want to go to Nineveh.
Right, at all.
At all. And he ran away from the Lord because of it. And anyway, let's just, like I said, let's just lay it out. Personal anger is a sin.
Right. Right.
If somebody comes,
bitterness.
Yeah, it's bitterness. It's unforgiveness. And if you got anger rising up in you because of what somebody has said or somebody has done to you, that's a sin. That's unforgiveness. And as Andrew has been talking about, it's if you read that book, The Curse of Unforgiveness, man, I'm going to tell you something. It just lays it out there, and it's like somebody took a fillet knife and ripped me right wide open, man, laid it out on the table. You can't get angry about anything that somebody has said, done to you at all.
Yeah, that book will beat you in the head like with a hammer, I know.
I'm telling you, man, it'll lay you out. It'll open you up and lay you out, and light will shine all through that darkness and expose the enemy. And that's a good thing. That really is. That's a good thing. And like Andrew was talking about, it creates in you a desire to get rid of that junk.
But there's such a freedom when you get rid of that junk.
Amen.
When you start really taking your thoughts captive and casting down those thoughts, because it really put the fear of the Lord in me. And when I was just really, because sometimes when you don't think about your thoughts, you can get critical thoughts and you kind of dwell on them and that, or you get judgmental thoughts towards somebody and it's just, when you start taking your thoughts captive, it's just, there's so many little thoughts there. I mean, it could be a hat that somebody's wearing or something just so ridiculous, but then you see it, boy, that's critical. And, you know, you just start chipping away at those critical thoughts, And what happens is you start getting less and less of those critical thoughts because you're asking the Lord to change you. You can't change yourself. But all you can do is repent and say, Lord, I don't want to have that critical thought, or I don't want to think like that. That's not Christ-like. Lord, take that from me. Because, I mean, if we're trying to do it ourselves, we're going to fail miserably. But if we just repent and say, Lord, change my mind. I see that, and I know that's unpleasing to you. Take that from me. And just by faith, just start giving it to him. And what happens is it starts chipping away, and all of a sudden you quit having those thoughts, or you quit thinking in that direction. And I keep asking the Lord, I says, Lord, fill me full of your love. Because I never had his love. I just, when you really, to love everybody, just to have that love in you. I was born with I through my bloodline, my mom was very critical, and I had gotten a critical spirit from her, and I lived in that most of my life. And even when I came out of that, there was still a lot of residual there. And through the curse of unforgiveness and through just little, the trials he puts us through, I mean, I've gotten into, I'm being chastened, and I'm, just things are turning upside down. I can't, my prayers and things, there's confusion and all this stuff going on. And I find out I've got unforgiveness because I was justifying being angry at somebody because I was trying to bless them and they didn't appreciate it. And it was like, whoa, I didn't even say it. So, but the neat thing is when you break through these things, you're always going to get tried again to make sure, but it's awesome. It's, you get that bondage off you and you get those thoughts out of your mind, but the Lord's got to do it. It can't be our works. Amen.
Amen.
Anybody else got a thought?
Yeah, I do. I want to share something that the Lord did show me. I'm trying to remember when it was. It was like maybe the fall or something. Anyway, I get this statement on my in the mail about my bank account that I have, and it has. I would really just love to get rid of this money. But anyway, there's money in that account from when I was divorced, part of the divorce settlement. Anyway, I got this statement, and I had, like, a lot less money in it. And I'm like, what the world? So immediately I call up the bank, and I get the corporate headquarters. And he said, well, they couldn't tell me anything about that. I had to go to one of the branches. So anyway, I went. Excuse me. And Merle went with me because, we were both like, what the world's going on here? Here, come to find out, what happened was my ex-husband went through a period of financial difficulties, and he hadn't paid the mortgage on his house, and he had told him, he had the money then. He told him, because he had talked to him not too long ago, just take that out of my account now. It's there. Take it out. And but anyway, I found out that this money was taken out because I have an account in the same bank that he does that has this mortgage is through because because my name is still on the mortgage. He hasn't been able to get it off yet, and he's working on that. He hasn't been able to refinance. But anyway, so I thought when I talked to him, I found out that he, you know, the real story behind it, you know, what happened. But I thought, you know, the worst of him. I thought, you know, he just, you know, I just thought the worst of him about it, you know, because, and, you know, I asked him when I talked to him, are you sure you have the money in the bank? And he goes, yeah. And then he asked me later, why did you ask me like two or three times if I was sure if I had the money there? I said, because it didn't make sense to me. Why would they, if you had the money, why would they take it out of my account, you know? Anyway, so it was just like the Lord just really exposed me there, because I thought the worst of him, you know, and really that thinking the worst of someone and not giving them the benefit of the doubt before you have a chance to find out what's going on, you know, talk to the person or whatever, that's unforgiveness. So, yeah, so it's just like, you know, I had to really repent of that to the Lord and apologize to him, too. I mean, you know, we get along now and everything, but, you know, it's just like the Lord just now and then, once in a while, he'll bring up something. You know, I was thankful for that whole thing happening, because it was like the Lord showed me there's still a little bit of unforgiveness there, Missy. You know, so he just wrote a check and he sent it to me to make up for what the bank took out, but out of my account. But I mean, isn't that funny how the Lord will do stuff like that? I mean, he delivers. I mean, it's like it made absolutely no sense for the bank to have done that, because it was in his account. They took it out of my account.
Amen. I just had the same type of thing. When I was in business, what really stirred my flesh was the cities and the city inspectors. And so I just had this attitude towards the cities and the government, and because they're always, you know, taxing and permits and fines and all this stuff. And it was just something that always stirred me up. So I've been, you know, in the rest and that, and last week I got my water bill, and I went to pay my water bill, and it's late by a day, and they have a 10% fine for, you know, paying it late. And the water here is just, to me, it's very pricey. And I looked at this, and the bill came out, I think it was on the 26th is when they printed it, and it was due the 10th of the following month. And I'm looking up my other bills, and they all give you 30 days, but the city only gives you 14 days to pay your water bill. And I've paid it a couple times late, and I hate to pay a penalty. And it just started to stir me up, and Trisha's like, knew something was up. He says, you need to let it go, you know. And I was like, it was like I didn't want to pay that fine. And in my head, my thoughts are going, you know, we should talk to the mayor, start a class action suit. I'm sure, you know, they're collecting all this money on their fees because they only give you 2 weeks. And I was starting to get stirred up. And Trish could see it on me. He says, Tim, you got to let it go. Got to let it go. Oh, and that's unforgiveness. I'm getting into judgment. I mean, I'm the one who paid it a day late, and I've got to pay the fine, and I don't want to do that. That's my flesh. That's my pride, all that. But I just had to let it go. It says, yep, I'm late. I just got to change my ways, you know? But I was getting stirred up, and it was just those little things. I mean, it's over, you know, $5 that I was, you know, put my salvation in jeopardy, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just, you got to see all those little things.
I'm sorry. That's all it was $5?
Yeah, but it was like, it's not right. They only give you 2 weeks. Everybody else gives you 30 days. It's like, you know, there's a scam here. We need to take care of this, you know. But yeah. That's your flesh. It's just your flesh gets stirred up, and then the Lord just, and if you let it go, you're going to get spanked. And then you're going to have to do it again. You're going to be tried again. So that's why we got to learn, you know, see it, change our mind, repent, and get back in the rest.
Amen. Hey, brother.
Hey, Sue.
Hi, I was just thinking about what happened to me the other day. Just a little thing. I mean, I'm dealing with this stuff, too, because the Lord is, you know, he's chiseling away at me, and because I've dealt with anger many times, and had to repent so many times, too, and I just had to deal with a child today with anger, and I had to back away from his, and let his stepdad and his mom take care of it. Anyway, though, this one thing happened yesterday that was funny. I went to the grocery store and I got my groceries and at checkout and everything. And I had to hurry up and get somewhere else. And I didn't really check to make sure I had everything in my basket because I normally don't anyway. But I get back, I go and pick up my grandson, get back home, and I'm thinking, where's my turkey? My turkey's not around. What happens? You know, and I looked in the house, looked in the car, then I finally called a grocery store, and they said, oh, yeah, the turkey's here, you know, and I thought, how did that happen? What happened, you know? But I didn't dwell on that. Normally, I'll try to figure out what happened to it. What happened to it? Did I forget to, did they forget to, you know, and there you got to watch out. It was like, okay, here we go, you know. Started to put it in the cart, and I got to drive back, you know. I mean, all these thoughts could just blow you away, you know. Got to go back and pick it up and all the stuff. When I got there and I got the turkey and stuff, he was starting to say, oh, I'm sorry. And I said, oh, no, don't worry about that. I said, you know what? I said, that turkey was trying to fly away from me without wings. You know, I just found myself making a joke out of it. I was like, she was laughing and I was laughing. It was like, you know, it didn't bother me, but, you know, I've had to deal with things like that, too, you know, where things bother me, and I have to repent and stuff like that, but I just, it was just funny the way that worked out, where the, Lord, here's this turkey breast that doesn't have any wings and it's trying to fly away. Anyway, amen.
Amen. Yeah, sometimes we see children, you know, they let their anger out, or they throw a tantrum or whatever it is, and we think we're so sophisticated, but we've got a little tantrum going on in our head. We just don't, nobody knows it, you know?
Right. I mean, like today, I had to deal with the grandson. He was really having a temper tantrum. He's 11, and he was really having it, but I just kind of stepped back, and normally I'm like right in there, trying to take care of it. I've had to step back. The Lord's been trying to get me to step back and step away. And I just prayed. You know, like how you guys were saying, you know, just pray. So I pray, and the Lord helped him out. So that's a praise report there. Anyway, but I had to do something. I had to back away.
Amen. Amen.
I can share a dream I had recently, actually the other day. I recognize this dream today from it. I was in a dream and I was looking out like in a windowed area, like I was on like a train or something. I looked out and I seen this man out there, and he runs up to the train window. He says, "What are you looking at?" Real angry and mad. And I just stared at him thinking, wow, you know, this guy's really, you know, this is strange. Why is this guy so angry and mad? This guy looked at him. So I just kind of, you know, I didn't say anything. I just watched him. And I woke up, and there was something else, another part of the dream I haven't figured out yet. That's why I'm not going to reveal that one yet. It's still a mystery to me. But that was part of the dream. And when I went to work that day, which was today, I actually had a couple guys just get mad at me and run up in my face and just yell at me. And I thought, oh, okay, Lord. Because at first I thought the Lord was telling me I had this anger issue going on. And I was trying to making sure I didn't have it and repenting and thinking about it and thinking, well, you know, I remember from the past, but I don't see it now. And I thought, okay, just interesting. Then I realized, oh, he let me see the demon behind the people acting out like this. So I could actually see that anger coming out of people. And, I mean, I wasn't doing anything to really provoke these people. Not that to that degree. It just all of a sudden just rushed out at me. And I thought, wow. And I handled it real calm, but I got to see the demon working through people doing that. And it's the flesh, you know, it's Satan working through the flesh. And we've all had that happen. But when you've overcome and it's not working through you anymore, I mean, I thank the Lord he gave me that dream to allow me to see it. Because normally I don't have those kind of warnings. You know, usually you got to go through the hard time and figure it out afterwards. But this was an interesting dream that showed me what was going to happen the next day. And it played right out in front of me in two different people. And I recognized it wasn't the people. It made it easier for me not to get mad or upset with the people because I knew it was the spirit behind them when that happened.
That's awesome, Dave. See, that's truly walking in the spirit. When you can see that demon of anger and separate that from the flesh and see that that's just a spirit on those people. But if you just see it as them angry at you, then that's when you're not seeing in the spirit and you're seeing them instead of the spirit behind it. So the more we can separate that spirit of whatever it is, if it's anger, if it's pride, if it's arrogance, or whatever we're dealing with in other people, it's just spirits that are on them, and we don't take it personal. We just see them as, you know, a vessel of dishonor being used by this spirit of anger to try to come against me or whatever. But, yeah, that's awesome when the Lord, you know, you're able to see the spirit, you know, behind it and not see it as that person.
Like I said, I got to give the credit to the Lord. I wouldn't have understood that had he not gave him that dream. Now that I had the dream, I can see it. I understand. It's nice to have I don't always have those advance warnings. I'd like to have them all the time, actually. It'd be great. I could walk my life really sinless that way, but that was awesome. And I feel sorry for the people because I know what they're going through because I've done the same thing. Now I can see the demon, you know, and it's not them.
Amen. And how many Christians out there are getting dreams from the Lord and don't even know it's the Lord trying to warn them or trying to show them something? I mean, just to have that knowledge of the interpreting of dreams or the Lord speaking to you, giving you a warning through dreams, where when we get a dream, we can ask the Lord what it's about, or he can show us or ask for a word. I mean, I think that's just such an awesome, awesome thing. I've seen the Lord bring so many warnings in dreams, and it's just amazing. But there's so many people out there that have no idea the Lord even speaks to them in dreams.
You know, personally, I have to give UBM credit for bringing that to my attention, the dreams, knowing that that was one of the ways the Lord talks to people. Not that I didn't maybe have a comprehension before, but to be even more so attuned to it now, not to take anything for granted. If I can actually remember a dream and it's vivid and it's strange and something happened, it's like, oh, there's something there, you know.
Yeah, that's the neat part is taking everything, the dreams, just the words, just different things, and just trying to be led of the Lord and guided of the Lord in all things. You know, when we read the word or ask for a word by random, by faith, or get a dream or that, just, you know, as far as just, Lord, just guide me, just, you know. And we can look at those things and use that to guide our walk. It's just an awesome, awesome tool. And prior to this ministry, I didn't know any of that. So I agree, that's kind of neat. All right, anybody else have anything they'd like to share? Testimony, hey, dream?
Yeah, hey, Tim, since we're on the subject, actually, my younger sister, Lori, the Lord's been giving her dreams for the past, 4 years or so at least. And, you know, she would call me before kind of a little bit. She'd be rather disturbed, not just a little bit, but actually quite disturbed about something that, you know, a dream that she had, and she would send me the dream. She'd email it to me, and I would read it, and the Lord would make it pretty clear to me that, you know, he was warning her, and so I shared some things with her. You know, I did it with grace, with what the Lord had given me, and I was careful not to. I tried to be very careful not to share more than I felt the Lord wanted me to. And well, anyway, when I was, I think it was this last summer, when Charity and I were in Minnesota visiting with her, she had a dream again, and it was regarding her young daughter. She's 5 years old, and I'm not going to go into the dream now. Time's kind of short here, but. She said to me, she's like, well, how do you know, I didn't have that dream because we've talked about these things and that's not influencing my dreams and this and that. And I thought about it later and I was like, well, I hadn't brought anything up with her about that kind of thing since we had been visiting with her that time and she had that dream, but she was kind of, I think her mind is just kind of looking for escape routes maybe, and she just doesn't seem to take them that serious anymore. And so I'd just like to pray that, you know, that the Lord would just give her the grace to recognize what's going on.
All right, we'll join in with you.
Okay. Lord, I just pray for Lori, Father, that you would please, Lord, give her grace to understand that these dreams are warnings from you, Lord, and help her not to ignore them, Father. Pray that you give her the interpretation of them, Lord, and that she would see what you're speaking to her, Lord. Just help her to really draw closer to you, Lord, and these days, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I've got a sister that she shared a few dreams with me, and I saw clear the interpretation. And she had a touch from the Lord when she was younger, but she's really not walking with the Lord. But I see where the Lord's even speaking to her in her dreams. She really doesn't see it. She shared them with me. I've shared interpretation. She could see it. And, but he'll even talk to you that really aren't walking with him in dreams to try to. Or I think Kiana's sister came in a few weeks ago, had a dream, but it jarred her so much that she went to her sister asking, you know, telling her about the dream, and the Lord gave me an interpretation, but it was definitely a warning dream, and it brought her, you know, where she knew that, you know, she wasn't in the Word, and it, you know, steered her path to get back into the Word and start, you know, putting the Lord first in her life, which I thought was kind of nice. So, amen.
And if it's okay, I'd like to share something else about, since we're on the subject of dreams, you know, as I was thinking earlier when I was, you know, Frank had been in my heart for a while and I was praying for him. I thought, well, I was a little off there on some things that I prayed, but Lord, just, you know, keep correcting me. And, you know, he's really been helping me more to enter into his rest. And I just want him to, you know, I just want to continue in that. And I had a dream about Frank. This might have been 3 years ago now, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, something like that. And in the dream, I was in like a pickup truck, and I think I was with, I don't remember specifically who I was with. I just remember being in a pickup truck, and I was in a desert setting. The land was very barren, but yet I really had I felt the heavenly presence around me. I was just full of joy, and You know, there's a lot of grace there. And I remember I had the radio on, and Frank's voice was coming through the radio. And he was, I don't remember exactly what he was saying, but there was just so much grace. You know, I remember when Frank would share back when he was on the conference calls, there was so much grace and anointing there. And I just really, I was blessed by hearing, you know, just about anything he had to say. And so as he was speaking through this, through the radio, there was just so much grace and resolve and clarity there. And I think one of the things the Lord has shown me and has been dealing with me on this is I was assimilating some things in my own mind and just not fully being led of the Spirit in those areas yet. And because I know, you know, dreams are very symbolic, and I got a lot to learn about that yet. And the Lord's been showing me a few things. And so, I guess I just would like to ask for prayer that, you know, that I'd have grace to let the Lord continue to really recalibrate me and just make that I'd be able to receive, you know, whatever necessary corrections I need to enter more into the rest. I just want to pray by His Spirit, not be led by emotions in any way, because, I mean, when I was praying for Him, I kind of really, you know, felt that there towards the end, but now that was in my soul, and I just realized, well, okay, Lord, You're just showing me I need to just back off a little more here in an area and just rest more. So,
amen. So, Father, Chad is asking just for a recalibration, Lord, just to allow him to just be led of You in the Spirit, and not to be led of his emotions or led of his flesh, but just to be totally led of You in the Spirit, Lord. So, Father, we just ask that You just grant him the desires of his heart to just be just aligned with You, Lord, and separated from his flesh and his emotions. So, Father, we just thank You for just a renewed mind, the mind of the Spirit, not the mind of the flesh, and to be totally led of You. And we thank You for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank You, Father.
So, Chad, did you know that Frank used to be on the radio?
No, I didn't know that. It doesn't really surprise me, but no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he shared a testimony with me that at one time he did a little, I don't know, it was like a Bible answer or something, you know, on Sunday night it was a real low wattage, you know, I don't know if it was just a low wattage little radio station in their town. And he'd shared that it just covered a very small area. And when he was on there, he was getting phone calls from like a state or two away that people were picking up his radio program. It was totally impossible, but they were picking up his radio program, and he was speaking to them, and they would call in, you know, from like two states away or something. He said it was just amazing that, you know, whatever he was preaching on or sharing on, the Lord wanted somebody to hear, you know, wherever they were. And they tuned it into their car stereo or radio or whatever it was. And he was getting these calls in there from, you know, people that was just impossible for that little low wattage radio station to reach that far. But it was the Lord doing it. And, you know, so when you shared that testimony, I remember, Frank sharing that with me, you know, what the Lord did when he was at that radio station.
Praise the Lord. That's wonderful.
So I thought that was awesome that the Lord gave you that dream. So, all right, we're kind of running out of time here. So does anybody have any last thoughts, prayer requests, anything like that before we close out? Well, all right. So, Father, we just thank You for another awesome time together in fellowship and just sharing with each other and edifying each other. And, Lord, we just ask You just bless everybody's week. You just draw them to Your Word. Just open up their eyes. Just show them, you know, where You want them and what You want to teach them. Lord, we know that wisdom is from you. We ask that you just fill us full of your wisdom and knowledge and just guide us, Lord. Father, we all want to walk pleasing to you, be led of the Spirit and not led of our flesh. So, Father, just allow us to, you know, expose any flesh that's still alive and kicking so we can just crucify it, and so we can be totally dead of that flesh so we can live the crucified life in Christ Jesus. And Father, we just thank you for that, Lord. We want to go through the cross, Lord, and be died to this outer man that's kicking and screaming and fighting, and allow that inner man to just come alive. So, Father, we just thank you for working in us and guiding us in this journey, and help us to keep our eyes on you and all things. And, Lord, we just thank you for this word of unforgiveness that was spoken tonight, Lord, and show on all of us, you know, the areas where we're justifying, where we're hurt or angry or bitter, and or the thoughts that are coming in that are just so familiar that, you know, we think it's us. We just ask you, just help us to see just any areas in our life where we're walking in unforgiveness and we're justifying it, so we can get rid of it and get out of that bondage, Lord, and get our souls right with you. So, Father, we just thank you for working in us this week, Lord. Bless everybody this week, Lord. Just bless the weather, Lord. We thank you for that heat spell that's coming in. We just thank you for just working in all our families and household salvation for everybody that we're praying for, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for just filling us with all of your faith and getting us out of works and getting us on our knees to, you know, change the situations that are happening in our families and in the situations around us. And Lord, we thank you for just filling us with your faith to pray and believe for our loved ones. And we just ask, Lord, that you just continue to, you know, work in them and bring them into the kingdom. So bless everybody this week, and we just thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.